Welcome to this edition of the Bears Den podcast. I'm Matt Bear. We have brought back Ryan James from Prep Hoops again for a little Minnesota Boys High School State Basketball Tourney Preview, which we'll chat about here in a minute. But before we get into it, let's recognize our sponsor, Midwest Basketball Training. If you are looking to hone your skills or amp up your training, you should check out the MBT facilities or their other player development opportunities. That's right. They now have added another facility in Blaine to go along with their first location in Brooklyn Park. Visit their website at MidwestBasketballTraining.com for more information. Pat Freeman and his team do a great job working with youth around the metro area. And that website again is MidwestBasketballTraining.com. Now let's bring in Ryan James to the Bears Den. Ryan, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing good. It's a little break from, you know, actually watching basketball games to doing more work around basketball right now. So yeah, we're doing good. It's been a very busy day as get things started for a state tournament week coming up.
Yeah. And we're recording this on Monday night. The games start right away, 10 a.m. Target Center tomorrow morning, as well as Williams Arena. 3A will be tipping off at 10 a.m. at Williams, and Class 4A will get going at Target Center at 10 a.m. So excited for those games to get underway. And brought back Ryan. This has been kind of a popular little thing we've done here with the Boys State Tourney Previews. We had Ryan on, as a lot of listeners will remember, for the season preview. And now we've brought him back for the Boys State Tourney Preview, which is always fun. So we'll go through class by class. We'll have Ryan give us his breakdown of some top teams and players to watch. He'll give us his prediction on who he thinks is going to win it all for each class. And then we'll kind of cap it off by talking a little Mr. Basketball. Ryan, let's start with Class 1A, I guess. We're going to have a new champion in 1A, as Hayfield did not make it back to the state tournament this year. They got knocked off in their section by Spring Grove, who also defeated Goodhue, which was one of the top-ranked teams in the state. That's someone I've been looking at here, Ryan. As I look at the bracket, it looks like Spring Grove got the 3 seed, and Russell Tyler Ruthen, RTR, came in with the 1 seed here for Class 1A. What are your thoughts on Class 1A, Ryan?
You know, I'm going to stay with Spring Grove there that you were talking about. Like, that's a basketball team that is going to be very, very tough to beat. I felt they should have got the 2 seed, and I think they had felt they earned the 2 seed. The one thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be able to defend them for over a minute. You have to be able to defend. They are going to move the basketball in unison rapidly for over a minute regularly and grind teams down with their ball movement. But they're also a big and physical team. Like, that's a good size class single A team. It's not like they have giants, but they have big, long 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 6'5" athletes in their lineup that can all move. And they were able to grind down both Hayfield and Goodhue. And when I look at this field, like, it's going to take an experienced, talented, patient team to be able to beat Spring Grove. And I think the number one team that could be able to do that is RTR. RTR is quite similar. They're probably a little bit better guard play, a little bit. I'm going to take that back. Similar guard play, I would say RTR's edge is Drew Workman in the paint. They kind of have a 6'5", 6'6" low post guy, whereas Spring Grove may not have like a post as much as they have a 6'5" long guy. I really like those two teams, and they are coincidentally the only teams that have lost one game. I like the two of them because they're quite experienced, have the good size, and they play so well together. Those are my, you know, two favorites coming in.
Okay, got it. And as we looked at, you know, kind of the rankings, some of the top teams, which happens every year, Ryan, in section play, you know, we had some of the big guns not make it, like a Cass Lake, Bina, a Henning, you know, Goodhue. Again, they're in the same section as Spring Grove. So some of those schools that probably had their eyes on the Big Dance didn't end up making it this year. But then you've also got Cherry in there, Ryan, who I know a lot of people are excited now that Isaac Asuma has committed to the Gophers. How do you like their chances?
I really do like Cherry's chances as well. Cherry and New Life Academy, they're going to be watched by Gopher fans extensively because Cherry has a future Gopher in Isaac, and New Life Academy has a future Gopher in Eric Reeder, who's walking on in Minnesota. Both of those teams challenge themselves highly with their schedule. Like, as much as I like Spring Grove and RTR, Cherry and New Life Academy played much different, more difficult schedules. And in terms of scheduling some like bigger name opponents. Now, in conference play, I would say RTR and Spring Grove face tougher teams in conference play. But in terms of going out and getting more teams on the schedule, I think Cherry and New Life Academy did that, and that's why their record has a few more losses. But they're both contenders as well. I really like Cherry. They're the most talented team individual players that you're going to find in this Class A group. They're just very, very young. Very, very young. And they're going to have to be able to defend RTR or Spring Grove for an extensive amount of time. And, Matt, I don't want to go too far without saying Border West. Border West is 26-2. They're a team that, like, after we put our breakdown preview out, like, I don't have my book near me, so I'm going to butcher this. It was Wheaton Herman Norcross combined with somebody else. So there's a whole bunch of teams combined there. And Wheaton Herman Norcross was one of my top three or four teams in their section before they added whatever team they added to it. So they got deeper. And, like, they really have kind of been under the radar, you know. So, and then they beat Henning. So Border West could come down here and maybe be the most talented team in Class A. I don't know. Like, they added another school to a really good team. So they might be the most talented. I don't know. I haven't seen them. I've seen everybody else on here, some multiple times. And Border West is an absolute mystery. So who knows what they have. I do know they have some good veteran players. So let's not forget about Border West. And then New Life Academy is interesting too, because they probably have one of the better point guards than Max Briggs. They'll be the biggest front line in the Class A tournament with Reeder and the guys around him. But do they have the team defense to be able to slow down a Spring Grove RTR who are going to grind you for 45 seconds for 60 seconds of possession?
Nice. That's a great little recap on Border West there for those people that maybe, like myself, wasn't really familiar with exactly where they are. So up that northwest side there with Wheaton, Herman Norcross, and those guys. So if you had to pick a final and a winner, Ryan, for Class 1A, who would you go with?
I would have to say, like, first of all, I would need the bracket to know exactly, because I believe I don't totally remember who the...
Yeah, we got RTR and Cherry, Border West and Nevis on the same side. And okay, then we've got Sacred Heart, New Life Academy, Mankato Loyola, and Spring Grove on the other side.
So I got to stay with what I'm true to, and that's RTR and Spring Grove. Those are the top two teams I have ranked in Class A. RTR has been my number one for 2 months. And I got to stay with that. So I'm going to say RTR and Spring Grove, and it's everything about experience. As I said, Cherry, I think, is the most talented, but they got three sophomores out there playing. They got a freshman. They got an eighth grader. That's a young group. And I wonder, like, as talented as Isaac is, you know, it's a 36-minute basketball game, and all those guys have, the full team has to be able to defend, you know, the grinding of Spring Grove and RTR. So that's why I'm going to say Spring Grove versus the RTR. I'm going to say Spring Grove wins just because I like what I've seen them the most, even though I've had RTR number one for a while.
Okay. There we have it, folks. 1A. All right. Now let's jump to Class 2A, Ryan. Again, these guys are going to get tipped off tomorrow night at Target Center in Williams. Then they're going to have 3 days off before the semifinals on Friday, and then the finals on Saturday. So that's kind of an interesting schedule for Class 2A. In Class 2A, Ryan, I think a lot of people are probably looking at the one seed, Holy Family, with their massive front line anchored by Bowden Kapke. And then on the other side, having just an unbelievable basketball March Madness run here is the town of Albany, who had their girls just make a nice run in the state tournament on the girls' side, and then their boys' team, who's the two seed in Class 2A here. So what are some of the things that stand out to you initially here in 2A, Ryan?
Well, one of the things that grabs my attention first is Holy Family. Like, Minneapolis North was playing pretty good basketball at the end of the year. I mean, they really handled Maranatha Christian, who was a top five team most of the season. And then Holy Family, with Bowden Kapke being in foul trouble the whole game almost, and fouling out 9 minutes to go, like, they still, Holy Family had the talent, because Cole Hansen is that good of a guard, and guys like Michael Richardson has played so well down the stretch, and Cummings has played well down the stretch, and Cullen, you know, the Holy Family's a 2A smaller school, but they lose their Butler big man commit, and they say, hey, let's just throw our Chattanooga big man commit or sign player in there. So the depth, the size, and the talent of Holy Family, they've been my number one all year. But I'll tell you this, Plainview Elgin Millville is now healthy, and that's huge, because Caden Peters, you know, he missed some for football at the beginning of the year, then he hurt his ankle. Caden Peters now healthy, and Aaron Stevens, who just had 33 of their 54 against Lake City. The way those two are playing, Plainview, Elgin Millville, before Holy Family got all those transfers, they were my number one coming into the season. And then Holy Family took that once we found out Mulholland and Hanson were going to Holy Family. So they were my number one before. So those are kind of the things I look at. Holy Family being so stacked with talent, Plainview, Elgin Millville playing really well. Let's throw in there Dilworth, Glendon, Felton, DGF, led by Owen Leach scoring 50 to get his team to the state tournament. That's a 50. And then Albany, of course. You know, if you haven't seen Albany, they're kind of like the teams that I was talking about from Spring Grove and RTR, just bigger and deeper, because they're a bigger school in terms of, in relation to those Class A schools I was talking about. Albany, they have shooting. They have a quick, smart playmaking guard. They have bruisers around the basket. And they have one of the most athletic players in Class 2A, in Tyson Gerards, who's going to Minnesota State Moorhead. Albany is going to be tough to beat because they have depth. So this is going to be a fun Class 2A tournament.
I agree, Ryan. And I think the two sections I always like to focus on for 2A are just brutal, brutal sections. And that being 6A, which Albany came out of, they defeated a really good Malacca team. And then, like you said, Plainview, Elgin Millville out of one class or section one at 2A, they knocked off Lake City, who I believe Lake City had beat them earlier in the year. And like you said, Ryan, maybe they weren't healthy fully for Plainview, but the two teams that come out of those sections every year are teams I definitely think you can have to watch every year, because those two sections are just absolutely a dogfight every year.
I mean, sometimes it comes to a situation where it's like it was such a fight to get out of the section that like the approach at state tournament isn't as much as, oh, we're gonna take this, as much as it is, yeah, we got here. I've seen that in the past, like, mm-hmm. especially in Class A. There's been times where just getting out of a section was brutal, and then they're happy to be there and then try to make a run, and they just quite didn't have what they needed. So,
and who are maybe some of the top players individually in Class 2A that people should be kind of keeping their eye on, Ryan, as these games go along here?
Well, I've mentioned, you know, Owen Leach from DJF and Stevens and Peters from Plainview, Elgin Millville. We talked Kapke, Mulholland, and Hanson from Holy Family. Kind of moving to some, and of course, Albany. We talked about Ezekiel. I didn't say Ezekiel Austin. That point guard I was talking about from Albany is Ezekiel Austin. Plus, Sam Hondel's a good player there. And of course, Tyson, who I spoke of. But from some of the other teams, Pequot Lakes has Eli Lepowski, who's going to Bemidji State. He's led them to state for the second year in a row. Maple River has has two really good players. They have an inside out combination in Mason Schermer and Hayden Neubauer, who have led them to a, you know, a great 3-4 year career. Noah Stomas at Eden Valley Watkins is their big man. And then Minnehaha Academy. Last but not least, of course, Jerome Williams was the conference player of the year. He can catch fire. But then I watched his backcourt mate, Lorenzo Levy, hit 7 threes in knocking off Concordia Academy in their section final. And Rollins Alegbe, man, he looks like he's grown another 2 inches for Minnehaha Academy. He's a force around the basket too. So those are probably – I gave you at least one from each team. That's probably it's a nice group of players. I mean, I just mentioned several kids who are signed full scholarship wise or will be at this time next year.
Yeah, that's a really good showing from Class 2A players, Ryan, to have that high level of talent, like you said, full scholarship level players. So 2A is always one of my favorite brackets, Ryan. I think it's, you know, pretty open most years. But if you had to look at a final and pick your winner for Class 2A, how you lean in for 2A?
Well, definitely Holy Family. They are my big favorite to win it all. But I would with the way Plainview Elgin Millville is going, I'm going to say Holy Family versus Plainview Elgin Millville in the final and go back to the way I started this season with those two as 1 and 2.
Okay. You heard it here. Ryan backing up his season preview picks with the state tourney picks for 2A. Love that. All right.
Stubbornly.
Yes.
Stubbornly, potentially. That might have been stubbornly doing that.
Now let's run to 3A here, Ryan. We've got, I think, maybe a little more open bracket than last year where Totino was the heavy favorite. I don't know if they come in quite as heavy of a favorite this time as last year. You know, we've got some new blood in there. Orono's back in Class 3A. De La Salle, I think, for their 12th year in a row, back with Todd Anderson leading the way with the new head coach there at De La Salle. And Alexandria's back as well. So what are your thoughts initially as you look at the 3A side of things, Ryan?
Well, the first thing that needs to be known is Totino Grace is healthy for the first time all year. And that might be scary. Because between Tommy Humphreys and Tayson Chapman, one of them, if not both of them, has been hurt throughout the year. And now they're both playing healthy. And that's scary. And then Patrick Bath has been their best all-around player all year. The fact that he's not on the Final Five for Mr. Basketball is kind of a crock. Like, I just saw the Star Tribune All-Metro. Probably should have been on that, too. Like, this Patrick Bath did not get the respect that he earned with his play this year, averaging 19 points and 14 rebounds a game for a number one team. Totino Grace is kind of a scary spot right here just for other teams because they're healthy now. You know, and when you have, you know, Pat Bath, who eventually at some point will play D1 basketball, Tayson Chapman going to Ohio State, Tommy Humphreys going to Furman, Isaiah Johnson has – Division one offers already. And then you have another group as well of guys like Zylier Stewart who get after it. Tyler Wagner coming off the bench and getting after it. There's just so much talent there. You know, they have a freshman playing named Dothan Ijenimbola, who is also really, really good. They just, right now they're playing their best basketball and they absolutely destroyed Monomedi. So, you know, Nick Carroll has them playing at their best right now. And I think a lot of people are, you know, like, oh, man, now they're healthy after all season. Now doesn't they pick to get healthy? So that's probably the biggest story coming in. Although I'll tell you what, Isaiah Hagan and Nazir Whitlock, what they've done for Orono and De La Salle, both of them have just been tremendous all season. And I think I also need to shout out their coaches, too. I think Barry Wohler has done a great job getting that senior-laden, tough guy group to play well with some young sophomores. And Todd Anderson, you just said that De La Salle has been 12 years in a row. Was that what you said?
Yes, I believe that's
correct. Yes, 12 years in a row. So I don't want to, you know, rag on kids here, but, I mean, if you let's just pick it like scholarship offer wise. Well, this looks like their least, you know, talented team of De La Salle, which is still very talented, that they've had in that 12-year run. And Todd has them playing outstanding basketball right now, heading into, you know, yet another state tournament run.
Yes, absolutely. And another school that we should mention too, Ryan, that's going through some fun times for basketball in their community is Stuartville. Very similar to Albany. Their girls just finished runner-up in state, and now their boys are making an appearance in the 3A class as well, along with another regular that we see there a lot of years, Ryan, Mankato East. There's a few of those schools that, along with who else we have, Hermantown from Section 7, and then also we got St. Francis, who is making an appearance for the first time in a bit. What do you know, or what should we know about some of those schools as well?
Well, Stuartville and Mankato East are young teams. Stuartville's got tons of juniors that are really good. Like, their prime year is next year, and they're here, you know, getting their feet wet in the state tournament as they hope to make a 2-year run. Mankato East is really interesting. They have the best freshman big in the state. Big, you know, they have a 6'10" freshman center. Brevin Pritzel is his name. Brogan Madsen, Joe Madsen's next son. He's their point guard. Dude is a major playmaker. And then they have a junior. They have a junior who is a sharp shooter as well. Case in point, with all of that, this is a very young team. This is a young basketball team in Mankato East, and they're also getting their feet wet ahead of time. So Stuartville and Mankato East, led by younger player, non-senior players, and they're very good. St. Francis, let's say it. They are the surprise of the state tournament, if you ask me. Someone might say Mankato Loyola. Well, Mankato Loyola lost 8 games because some of their best players were hurt. They wouldn't be 28-8 right now if their best players weren't hurt. St. Francis is a surprise this season. So that's a great job by Kyle Waterworth of getting them to state. And, you know, the state also gets a chance to look at Matthew Bethune from North Dakota, who's going to North Dakota, not from North Dakota. Yeah, he's going to North Dakota next year. He's a big, great scorer. He's a face-up, you know, long shooter that can, you know, get hot and score in bunches. So that's that. And then in Hermantown, the champions of the 6-team section. That's right. 6-team section, and earned. They are by far the best team in that section. And, you know, you got to credit Hermantown for the schedule they put together, because they really do a good job of getting those kids to play some of the other better 3A basketball teams. So, yep. And, you know, and I didn't even make a hockey joke. You want to know why I didn't make a hockey joke about Hermantown? Because I don't know squat about hockey to make a joke.
Yeah. I don't think either of us are probably qualified to comment on any hockey related humor here. That's for sure.
But you know, I don't know squat about Alexandria hockey, but I do know that they have a really good basketball team there, led by Grayson Grove, who's a top 5 prospect in that junior class. So they're there too.
Yes, Alexandria has had a lot of good players coming through here the last couple years, and then they've got some more even still coming, which is kind of exciting for them. Again, their girls were in the state tournament last week as well. So if we're looking at a final here, Ryan, are you going with Totino on the one side, I'm guessing, and then who do you like facing them in the championship game?
I'm going to say I probably got to go Orono. I just think Orono's me a little deeper. I'm gonna go Orono. I'll say Orono, but that's a guess. It could be De La Salle Orono. I say Totino Grace versus Orono, and Totino Grace gets back to back. They are now fully healthy.
Yep. And as we're
and in what they did against Matamida was an obliteration. Like, that was shocking.
Yeah. And as Ryan mentioned, as we get into 3A and 4A here, these are the brackets where we could have a repeat winner. As Totino won it last year. So Ryan is going with Totino for the repeat. So we'll see what happens there. Again, those games tip off at 10 a.m. Tuesday morning at Williams Arena. And now let's get into the 4A class, the big schools, Ryan. Again, we have an opportunity for a repeat champion here with Park Center getting the one seed. I think people have kind of been eyeing them in Lakeville North all year. They played earlier in the season. Park Center nipped them, and we'll see what happens. But one team I think to watch out for, Wayzata. They have lost one game, Ryan, since December 13th. One game. And I think they've really got it clicking. And then also we've got Minnetonka, who's back. One interesting thing about Minnetonka, I think this is their fourth trip to state or fifth trip ever that I read earlier. And three of the years that they've made it, two or three of the years, they've won it. So almost every year they make it, they win state. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see. And then one team I've kind of thought that was interesting this year, Ryan, is Buffalo, who's playing at a very high level with Nate Dahl kind of leading their way. So what are your initial thoughts on 4A?
Well, after years of complaining and belly aching and whining and just downright just being a baby about the fact that the 4A tournament never has all its best teams in there, we have eight of the top 10 ranked teams in the state tournament. And not only that, most of those eight have been ranked all year. The spread across the sections has finally given us a state tournament where we have our best teams. The only top 10 teams that aren't in it are Hopkins, who lost to Wayzata, and Eastridge, who lost to White Bear Lake. So I'm so happy that we have a state tournament representing, you know, the best of the best. So let's get that out of the way. You run through these teams. It's so senior strong for the most part. Park Center with CJ O'Hara. Andover with Ben Kopetsky. Ben Kopetsky made the final five for the Mr. Basketball, and he's probably not playing as well as Samuel Musungu is right now. Samuel might be playing better basketball to finish the season. He just had 45 the other day in the section championship game. Lakeville North, of course, we know about Nolan Winter. Buffalo with Nate Dahl. Wayzata with Hayden Tibbetts. White Bear Lake with Jack Tanicki, a future Wisconsin walk-on, very preferred walk-on. That's a hell of a walk-on. In Eastview has a team full of seniors. Chet Kloss probably leads the way. Concordia St. Paul signed kid. And then, you know, and then Minnetonka. Minnetonka's probably more well-known for their juniors, led by, you know, but then they have a senior as well. So in the Kane, you have Jalen and Jordan Kane. Very good. The junior-senior combo there with Andy Stefanovic as the point guard. So, you know, I just kind of ran through everybody there quickly just because it's such an exciting – it's probably the most excited I've been for a 4A tournament in a long time just because every game could go – I legitimately think you could make a case for everybody to win in the first round. The first round games are going to be super intriguing.
Yeah, I agree, Ryan. And that's a great point you bring up about pretty much all the top teams making it this year. So what do you think you would attribute that to, Ryan? Just kind of the shifting of some of the sections with some of the schools in there. Could you maybe touch on why that is a little bit different this year? Or did it just, that's kind of how it shook out with who came out of each section and it was just more evenly distributed?
You know, I think that like some of our traditional sections that usually have so many of the good teams were down. Like if you look at, you know, 2A or 2-4A, I guess we were supposed to say, you know, Minnetonka was really the only team in that group who was a top 10 level team. You know, Shakopee has been good for so long, but they, you know, they lost a lot of pieces and they were more junior heavy this year. And while good, they still took some lumps. And that's, you know, you keep looking through that section. Chask is down. You know, Edina was down, although John Bryan did a great job coaching that team with so many new faces. But, you know, Eden Prairie finished under 500 this year. So that, you know, and the whole season kind of, when Chidi Obizie went to college football, they kind of, you know, started slipping. So, you know, that section is down. AA is down, you know, with Crete not being what they have, you know, what they have been recently. And, you know, with Woodbury being a little bit down, that section was probably not quite as heavy as it has, although it still had Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Eastridge, who have all been in top 10 this year. So I would just say that's the big thing. And then the other part about it is some of those sections that have been down, the Andover group, like Andover and Duluth East, very good basketball teams this year. They were top 10 teams at times. Cambridge, what an awesome end of the season they had. So we're getting more balance, you know, and Brainerd and Moorhead are really good along with Buffalo in that, you know, in that 8-4A section. So we're just getting a little bit more balance all over the place. And some of those super heavy sections weren't quite as heavy this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And just to recap on the seeds here, Ryan, we got Park Center as the one seed. Lakeville North on the other side of the bracket as the two. Wayzata below them in the three seed. And then Eastview, Minnetonka squaring off in that first game in the quarterfinals as the 4-5 matchup. So kind of looking at that, Ryan, is it pretty wide open? Who do you like in the finals? And who do you like crowning as champion here?
The champion. Now that's going to be tough. I honestly think that we're going to see some upsets. I honestly think we're going to see some NCAA level upsets that surprise everybody tomorrow. You got me stumped because I think about it. Like I would say Park Center. Well, they just lost to Elk River and Maple Grove, you know, and they've been pushed lately. And then, you know, well, Lakeville North for sure. Well, then again, Shakopee figured them out. Well, it's got to be Wayzata. They've probably been playing best. And that's probably my pick. But then again, Eden Prairie, who's under 500, you know, and that long ago, it was a month ago that they beat Wayzata. So, you know, it's such a mystery. You mean, look at Eastview. Eastview had like three or four bad losses, but yet their wins are as strong as anybody's because they beat Lakeville North and Wayzata this year. So it's such a tough pick because I think we're going to see an upset or two right off the bat. But I'm going to go with Wayzata defeating Park Center in the state championship game.
Okay. Very interesting. And again, what's one thing for people to keep an eye on this year with the Timberwolves game on Wednesday, there's a little bit different spacing here for the games in state and 4A, which I think coaches will really appreciate, will go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. They will have no back-to-back games for class 4A, which I think will be fun to see those teams kind of extra fresh with a day of rest there in between. But yeah, 4A this year, I think is going to be really fun one to keep an eye on, which may be a little different than the normal years. So that'll be good to keep an eye on, Ryan. And now let's jump in to our last thing as Ryan's kind of recapped each class there. Let's talk a little Mr. Basketball, Ryan. They just came out with their five finalists here. And if you want to go through the five finalists and your thoughts on who you think will be crowned Mr. Basketball.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go alphabetical order. Ben Kopetsky up there at Andover, averaged 27 points a game, had some outstanding early season games, especially putting up major numbers with some big-time wins for Andover, helping Andover be a top 10 team all season long. Ben is headed to Concordia St. Paul, and he's been magnificent this year. He's the first one. Next one, Bowden Kapke going to Butler. Bowden's averaging about, 22 points, 13, 14 rebounds a game. You know, physically dominant at times. You know, like, honestly, if they weren't such a balanced team, he's probably a 30 and 15 guy or a 30 and 18 guy. But because they have another, you know, two other potential, they have one other signed D1 kid, and Cole Hansen could become a D1 kid. You know, there's a balance there. So his numbers aren't always dominating, but when he's on the court, he's dominating. Next up is Hayden Tibbetts from Wayzata. Hayden has been phenomenal this year. Like, what he is done in big game situations, and that's really all Wayzata plays on that schedule is big game situations. He's been remarkable. Even when it's a bad half, he bounces back and is fantastic. And two examples of that. Going head-to-head with Nazir Whitlock and De La Salle, Hayden was fantastic down the stretch. You know, after a rough half against Hopkins in the section final, he was fantastic in the second half and led them to state tournament. So Hayden's been great. Then we have also, I just said his name, Nazir Whitlock from De La Salle, son of Sean Whitlock, former Gopher, and former St. Cloud State Husky. He individually the toughest person to match up with in the state. Like, having to defend him off, you know, with a one-on-one or off a ball screen, nearly impossible. And we saw how Nazir, you know, carried his team to state tournament last year after, you know, some changes on that team last year. Well, this year, I wouldn't say he's, like, shouldered the load like he's a giant and just carrying up, you know, carrying everybody else around him. But he shoulders a lot of load. He's been special, shooting a good percentage with everything he has on him. And then finally is Nolan Winter, son of Trevor Winter, former Gopher. Nolan, of course, going to Wisconsin. Oh, I should say Nazir is going to Lehigh, by the way. But Nolan, he's another player, had a fantastic season, averaging in that 22-12 area for Lakeville North, who's been in the top two all season long. Nolan is, you know, he's a skilled but smart player as well. He does a fantastic job catching and finishing in that John Oxton offense. So that's the Mr. Basketball top five at the moment.
Okay.
Or not at the moment, forever etched in stone. Yes. In time, maybe the final five.
And if you had to give a prediction on your take as a winner, Ryan, who would you go with?
I would say that right now, heading into the state tournament, Whitlock has the one step ahead of Winter, who has a one step ahead of Kapke, who probably has one step ahead of Tibbetts.
Okay. And for just so people know, Ryan, do they vote on that before the state tournament, or do they wait till after the games for the state tournament are done and then they kind of decide?
After. And that's the way it should be.
Yep. Yep. So we'll look for that then, again, like Ryan said, after the state tournament. So, again, I think the fun thing for people to watch, Ryan, of these guys that we listed, some of the other ones, you know, that you talked about, Taysom Chapman, others that are going to big Division I schools, this will be fans' opportunity to watch some of these guys play. You know, another guy like a Jack Janicki, like you said, Ryan, who's going to be a preferred walk-on at Wisconsin. You know, people can check him out too. Any others that we should mention of players of where they're going or who people should be checking out?
Well, there's juniors. I mean, I mentioned Isaac Azuma. I mentioned Grayson Grove. There's two more top five juniors that are playing in the state tournament. That's Kazmir Chavis at Park Center, who might be one of the best ball pressure defenders I've ever seen. One of the most explosive guards I've ever seen. He for part of the season, I would say he was the entire state MVP the way he was playing. And then Jackson McAndrew from Wayzata. Jackson has range. He has an incredible touch, and he's like 6'10", 6'11". Well, I'll tell you what, if you're 6'10", 6'11" with range and that touch, like, you might be going from playing, you know, in the state tournament to playing in that game that gets in the way of the state tournament, you know, in the future, because that's something special. Like, is Jackson the best junior in the state right now, production-wise? I mean, there's guys that you can argue score more, do this more. But when it comes to potential, I don't know that anybody can match what Jackson can in terms of what their pro future could be. So I would say keep an eye on Jackson at Wayzata. Keep an eye on Chavis at Park Center. And, you know, Jonathan McKinnon, best player at Eastview. He's right there with that group as well. Had a fantastic season, averaging 19-20 a game, leading that team in scoring and rebounding. And I also I talked about Isaiah Johnson at Totino Grace and Andy Stefanovic at Minnetonka, two more top 10 juniors in the state. Jerome Williams, like I said before, conference player of the year, right around that top 10, you know, player in the state for juniors. So we have, and Grayson Grove. Oh, I mentioned Grayson Grove. Okay, my bad. I got him. I mentioned him the third time. Grayson Grove.
There we go.
Really good. And Grayson Grove is a soccer goalie. Yes, do it all, Grayson. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else, because I think just about every top 10. Oh, Jack Robinson. I knew it. I knew I was missing somebody. That's 9 of the top 10 sophomore or juniors in the state are in the state tournament. 10 of the top 11, actually, now that I think about it. Shoot, I'll bet you it's probably 11 of the top 12 if I really dug into things. But, yes, almost all of the top juniors in the state are here. Jack is headed to Wisconsin. You know, he's a do-it-all skilled player for Lakeville. And so whoever I forgot, I'm sorry, juniors.
And – is Ryan, are Lakeville North, is that one of the tallest starting fives that you've seen in recent memory? It has to be, right?
Yeah,
straight across the board.
Yeah, I mean, Nolan's what, 6'10", 6'11". Will is 6'7", 6'8". Jack is 6'7". Hudson Vaith is 6'5". You know, they probably look at Matt Drake like, come on, bro, get taller. We want to be the tallest starting lineup in high school. But non-prep school anyway. Yeah, you got some prep schools out here that just, you know, throw giants on the floor. But, yeah, I don't know where you're going to find a lineup that's that. I mean, Holy Family has a big front too, but then, you know, they get smaller where Lakeville North just keeps being huge.
Yeah, no doubt. So that'll be one thing for people to check out that's kind of interesting too. So
I will say this, Tutino Grace is out there with Chapman at 6'4", Humphreys at 6'4", 6'5", Isaiah Johnson at 6'7", Patrick Bath at 6'10", 6'9". They're not too small either.
Nope. So that's another one that could give them a run for their money. Different classes, but yes, very, very height-centric for them too. So thanks so much, Ryan, for joining. Again, it's going to be another fun tournament. Look forward to seeing some of Ryan's coverage again. People, Ryan, if they want to follow you and keep up with some of your reporting, can you tell the listeners out there where they can find you?
You can find me at The Breakdown, where me and Tim, or Tim and I, Tim would edit me right there if this was the book, Tim and I do the breakdown book every year. And then there's the breakdown events that I work with Dean Kessler and Justin Hagna on. And there's Prep Hoops, which I work, you know, obviously with Scotty Burgess, who's Illinois, Nick Carroll and the whole team at, as well as Alex Conover, the photographer, and Max Wagner, who's a phenomenal job doing video with his Fresh Coast Hoop stuff. You know, Jared Martins and the whole crew over at Prep Hoops were there. And then I work with Ryan Burns over at Gopher Illustrated. Sorry. That's Scott Burgess right there trying to interrupt our meeting to talk more basketball right there. But, yeah, and then Ryan Burns and I at Gopher Illustrated. I'm actually working on an article for Gopher Illustrated right now before you got me here. So that's where you can find me. I'm also working on a marketing thing for Coca-Cola to have every gym have Coca-Cola in every place in all of Minnesota. That way there's no Pepsi, and the Hoop Czar can't ever have a Pepsi in a gym ever. We're going to get a banned so he cannot have a Pepsi because Pepsi is disgusting. Go Coke.
I love how we had to throw the Pepsi Coke battle in there right at the end too. That classic. I'm sure Czar will love that.
Yes, I'm sure he will too. Also, shout out to St. Thomas Academy for having the best popcorn I've ever had. I think that's phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Shout out to St. Thomas Academy over there.
Well, that might have to be a drive just to check out that popcorn next year then.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Very nice. Very nice.
Grace, Mr. Grace, you do a good job making that popcorn over there. Be graceful.
Yes, Robert Grace. We know Rob. He's awesome. Hoop man.
Yes, sir.
Got to get
all this time, though, he never allowed me to shoot on his hoop in the Target Center. So I want a gift certificate to be graceful because I never got to shoot on that hoop that he was walking down the aisles with.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know Rob Grace, hoop man at Target Center, been there, gosh, he's probably going on two decades of running that thing on his back. And Rob, if you see Ryan, can you throw the ball to him or his kids at least? Yeah. Give him a shot, something, you know?
Come on now.
Oh, perfect. Well, no, thanks again, Ryan, for all your hard work this year, covering everyone, you know, getting kids and teams out there. And we'll look forward to seeing more of your work here coming up this spring and summer again.
Oh, and I'll be working this week. You may not see me in the Target Center, but I'll be working this week. So you can check it out there and then into the spring and summer.
That's perfect. All right. Well, thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you, Matt. Always happy to be at the Bears Den.
Love it.